Hello, friends, and welcome to the Catholic Dad Show. My name's Chris.
And I'm Matt, and we're just a couple of Catholic dads trying to do the best we can and share whatever wisdom that we get.
Hey, we are here to talk about what makes someone grateful. How do we make our kids grateful? And we are joined by a special guest. Matt, would you introduce us to Father?
Yeah, this is Father Deus, D-E-U-S. I'll actually let him introduce himself. And like throughout the podcast, when I can tell that more than likely you guys did not understand him, I will make sure that it's clear what he said.
Yes, I'm Father Deus. I come from Uganda. I work in the Catholic Diocese of Masaka, and I work as the youth director of the same diocese.
Yeah.
I'm here for a short visit. My friend Matt came to Uganda, and we did some ministry among the younger people with him. So now he's inviting him over to see how it goes here.
Yeah. So yeah, like Father Deo said, I was able to take my two oldest boys over to Uganda. And that's actually probably the good, start for the topic today is like one of the reasons why I did that. But we got to go over there and do some mission to youth, train some youth ministers in youth ministry and actually serve the young people in Uganda. And Father Deus was our host because, as he said, he's the director of youth ministry in the diocese there of Masaka. And his life is a whole lot different than our life. And our struggles as youth ministers in the States are a whole lot different than his struggles. That's kind of why we thought it would be a good topic today, to talk about gratitude, and how to grow in gratitude ourselves, and then also how to instill gratitude in our children.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, my parents would say, hey, finish your food because there's starving people in Africa. And it was just this distant thing. But Matt, you travel to Uganda, and Father, you journey with these people. And here in the States, we, to a large degree, get frustrated when our internet is down. And there's just this difference because in Uganda, there's a lot of people that struggle to get, like, I know that a lot of the youth ministers out there, a lot of the people that serve youth, struggle just to get a ride or transportation to go and serve the people who are in need of service. The transportation is something that I take for granted. If my car breaks down, I can Uber, I can borrow a friend's car, or we can use our other vehicle and be a one-car family because we're a two-car family. I mean, there's all these different pieces in regards to our world and our frame of view, and the things that we take for granted are aspects that you guys really fight hard just to get so that you can continue the ministry that you guys are doing. So the topic of gratitude is definitely a perspective. It's great to have you here to share that perspective because this will grow me as well.
What was one of the first things you said when we got into town and you drove up and saw Asher? He was in his car.
I was asking Matt that, he has a younger boy that is having a very big car. And for example, in the family, they have almost three cars in the family. They have Matt has, the wife has, the son is having a car. So you could say, and the car is very big. Very big. Those cars, in fact, are driven like ministers in my country. So you find that a younger man like Levi having that kind of big truck there, it's not so much. It's not common in my country.
Yeah. So as we pull up to my house, he said, "That's Asher's. That's Asher's car." And I said, "Yeah. I mean, it's a Toyota Tundra, and it's 2011. So as far as our standards in the States, it's a old truck. But I think like when you were just talking, I think you were talking about the ministers of the country are who drives those cars, not youth ministers. Like when he was talking about that, he was talking about the officials of Uganda are the ones who drive a vehicle like that.
The government.
Wow. And so, he was, that was shocking to him, to see that. I also, we were talking, as we were driving in, and this isn't necessarily, I hope it's not like, you don't feel bad when I say things like this, but I wanted him to get a sense of how expensive things were. And we drove by a fairly small house. And I said, that house sold for $300,000, American dollars, not Ugandan shillings. And he was just shocked.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was shocked because $300,000, I can in Uganda, I can build houses for the village, for the whole village, different houses, almost 100 plus.
Yeah, he could build 100 houses.
100 houses
for plus. What that one modest house right. in Bryan, Texas,
right.
you know, sold for. And yeah, there's no doubt that like one of the biggest reasons is just kind of economy and the economic differences. You know, there's the dollar goes further because of that. And so if we were to be in Uganda and earn a salary in Uganda, it would be a whole lot different. Our dollar, like our money there would go just as far as everyone else's. But earning a salary in the States and spending that in Uganda, it goes so much further.
Right. Yeah. So Matt, you took your kids, you took your two oldest, your two yep. boys, to yep. Uganda. Was it 2 summers ago?
Yeah. Not this past summer, but the summer before.
2 summers ago. And, I mean, you're a good dad. Let me just say this, but definitely they were raised in the United States. So your boys have cell phones and they have a vehicle they can at least borrow. They've got backpacks. They've got what they need. You know, they're in sports and athletics and different things. Like they don't want for anything. That doesn't mean that that they're spoiled or anything like
sure.
that. But
sure.
when they go to Uganda, they got hit with some perspective.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that?
I mean, I like the thing is I hope they did. That was my goal as a dad, you know, and that's like kind of fatherhood in general. All I can do is expose them to experiences. I can't control how they're going to take those experiences. And one of my goals, you know, as a father was to help them grow in gratitude, help them see how, you know, other people in the world live. And because we have it so easy, I wanted them to grow in gratitude and generosity. I wanted them to see just, you know, why we don't waste food. You know, why dad is, you know, always making sure that we don't waste anything. And it's because I know this exists. I have no idea. I haven't seen any drastic change in their life, after having gone, but I don't necessarily expect that, but I do expect that they'll have that seed planted in the back of their head and be at least aware of what the rest of the world is like. And when their life starts to suck a little bit, they can think about, you know, the kids who ate maize porridge every single day of their life and are, you know, smaller in stature because of their malnourishment throughout their entire life. You know, that and they know that and they see that and we have conversations about that. You know, and so my hope is that they grow in gratitude and generosity because of that. Maybe not today, you know, but sometime, you know, tomorrow or in the future.
Yeah. And one thing that, cause I was blessed to see some videos of the mission that you guys were on in Uganda. And there were moments where you guys were all dancing together and just having fun. And so it was one of those pieces to where like the people that you guys encountered in Uganda weren't just there to be served by you. Like, oh, wealthy Americans coming in to serve, you know, or whatever. But there was a brotherhood that was formed. There was joy. There was a friendship that was formed. And to know that for our sons and daughters as dads, to be able to expose them to, these aren't just people that we give money to or something like that. Like these are people that love Jesus and Jesus loves just like Jesus loves you. Like these are the same, we're the same people. And there's this sense of solidarity that these moments kind of create. And for those moments, I think gratitude is a fruit that comes from that solidarity. We can focus on gratitude in regards to other ways, and we just change the Wi-Fi password, and then our kids start getting grateful for certain things real quick. But in that regard, it wasn't we're grateful to be serving. It's actually it is a joy to be together with you in Uganda, and the people in Uganda who comparatively have a lot less material goods, actually comparatively also had similar to greater levels of joy and fulfillment.
That's kind of what I wanted Father Dave to talk a little bit about, you know, while life is no doubt much harder and very sacrificial, you know, over there, when I was there, I did not sense, you know, I mean, I don't know, as much, I sensed the anger and frustration and envy. You know, they were so generous everywhere we went, so excited, you know, to see visitors. And not just because we were rich white people, you know, but that they loved welcoming visitors and the way that they see each other, even like I was talking to Arthur about this, and even you and your school that you have, like, even if you're not immediate biological family, you see each other as family. Mm-hmm. Like Ugandans mm-hmm. are family.
Yes.
You know, so tell us a little bit more about like kind of Ugandan culture and like where that gratitude and the joy comes mm-hmm. from.
Oh, thank you so much, Matt. In our culture in Uganda there, for us, we live as a family, as a family. So because of this, we have what we call extended families. I see my neighbor, my brother, my friend, as one people, living one people serving God. And another thing there, because of the most people there are Christian and Catholics. So they teach us to love one another. So through loving one another, that's where we are serving God. We are serving our neighbor. I mean, it's all the challenges we have, but when we are together, I think we can fight all these challenges. And also they taught us the thing of being welcoming to our visitors, welcoming them. We are very happy. We sing with them, drink, dance with them. We eat with them. We share the little we have with our brothers and sisters who come. So behind the curtain is life is not easy. Not easy, but we have to show this kind of joy. And I think it keeps us alive. It keeps us healthy. Now, when you see me here, I'm 43 years old, okay? But you can say that maybe I'm 26, I'm 30, like that. Yes, you see that kind of thing there. Yes, it keeps us together. So we love one another. Africa and Uganda has a lot of challenges in my ministry, in among the younger people, among the other people in the villages there. But through God, we know that each and everything, that one day, God will give us the joy we need. But the most important thing is loving one another, as the Bible tells us. And that's the command Jesus left to us. Love one another. Love one another. So when I see, when Matt comes to Uganda, he's my brother. When he brings his two boys, they're my brothers also. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
I've been their family. So they have been showing me. I've been their family. My first time to be in I use big house. Yeah. They've given a nice bed, everything. They give me music and that. So that's kind of love. And I think by doing that, we are spreading the gospel.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And Uganda has about twice as many Catholics per 100 people than the United States. So it's about 23% of the US and it's almost 40%, 39% in Uganda. And mm-hmm, so there mm-hmm. is this standard or this fellowship that can happen in unified faith. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. it's not yeah. just, hey, us Catholic, because it does sometimes feel like in the United States, the poverty we have is trying to be religious or faithful in a world that is very secular, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We have to deal with a lot more anti-Catholic sentiment than they do in Uganda. And I think so much of that is actually because of the poverty. When everyone is as poor as they are, like, they're not going to fight over doctrine. You know, they may fight over the food, you know, but they're not going to fight over the doctrine. Uh-huh. And so there are things that are more important, you know, for them to deal with than, you know, doctrinal differences. I mean, I've seen it, you know, we talked about this, you know, that there's a Catholic school in a village. I don't know if it's a village or a town. Mm-hmm. And right up the road, they go to this field to play on, and it's the field that the Muslim school owns. And the Muslim school and the Catholics share that field because there are more important things for them to worry about than religious differences. Right. At that point, you know? And so I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons that that there's not as much division among the people, at least on religious levels. Yes. There's not a lot of religious fighting or argument. And
no.
Yeah, I'm right, you're wrong with regards to theology. So,
but on the most simplest reality stateside, like, we are very we keep score
in
large ways and small. So if there's two people that are playing the same video game or have similar social media, and it's like, well, my post got this many likes or this many follows or this many shares, and someone else had less, therefore you are less. And we're constantly competing with the other. Whereas in Uganda, Father shared, it's more like the goal is to love one another.
Yeah.
There's something about the abundance here that all of a sudden turns into scarcity because we want to try and take from others so that we have more. Whereas in Uganda, it's like, no, if someone has extra food, everyone rejoices because they already know that that means they're going to share it. Because when they grew up, there was a time where they needed extra food and someone else had extra and shared it with them. And there's this, I guess gratitude is not just a lack of complaining or a lack of competing with one another. It's also something that spills over into others in the way that we live. And I think that's obvious in regards to Father's experience or what he shared about Uganda.
One of the things that I was thinking with regards to like us Catholic dads here at home, how do we help our kids? How do we help our families grow in gratitude? No, you don't have to fly halfway across the world to show your kids, you know, what they need to see or experience, you know, but service is number one. Like the number one way that you can help your kids grow in gratitude is serving somewhere that's meaningful to you, you know, serving somewhere that's meaningful to them. I think there's certain areas of serving that is going to help you grow in gratitude for what you have. I had a friend of mine and, you know, say this, and this was just, he was personally reflecting on this. He said, Matt, you know, I've been telling my boys that they won the freaking lottery. They don't need to play the lottery anymore because of, you know, where they were born and who they are. Mm-hmm. They won the freaking lottery. They don't need to play anymore. You know, as a white male in America, they have more than 99% of everyone else in the world, you know, and they've won the lottery, you know, and so then we need, like, what about those who didn't? You know, what about those who didn't win the lottery? You know, those who did win the lottery need to do something. You know, like, I don't know. But anyway, not to get too far into that, but that's one of those things just to help your kids understand truly what it is that you have and to be grateful for it. One, you need to give it away. And two, you need to serve. You know, those are the two best ways, I think, to show your kids that you are a man who is grateful, is to be grateful yourself by, you know, giving and serving.
And so dads, look for opportunities to serve. And it doesn't have to be this big thing, because we've tried Habitat for Humanity with teens in our youth program. And they're like, okay, only those 16 and older with this liability form can do this. Like, they couldn't even climb on ladders, some of the 14-year-olds and younger teens that were coming with us.
Yeah.
It was really hard. But everyone has an older relative. And you can go there and be like, they can't walk as good. And you can go mow grandma's lawn. Let's go. Let's go help do some yard work for grandma because she can't do this anymore, and be grateful that you have the ability to walk for hours on end or the ability to lift heavy branches because grandma or grandpa, they can't do that anymore. And so it doesn't have to be this formal, you drive to a poor part of town. You just drive to a part of town that has a relative that's in need and you serve them. Like, bring it into part of your identity as a family, part of your culture. The other piece in regards to fostering gratitude actually comes within seasons of the church. And so during the season of Lent or even season of Advent, as you're preparing the way, what can you set down or lay down to make space for Jesus in those moments? But in that laying down, it shows detachment from things so you can be more grateful for what's more important, those higher level things. Which is why, and we said this before, during the season of Lent, Sundays is like sugar days. Like, we celebrate the resurrection on those days. And then other days, it's not. And to be clear, like, we have Valentine's Day candy at Easter because the season of Lent, we only eat candy once a week. We only eat sugar once a week. And they get so much Valentine's Day candy. It just pours into our house for some reason. And and so how do you foster gratitude sometimes by taking the things that you have abundance of? And just saying, for today, I'm not going to touch it. Today, I'm not going to do this. We're going to turn off, like you do with screens. We're going to turn off the screens. And it fosters, it fosters that gratitude. So there's actually part of the life of the church, if we lean into, that's meant to foster that gratitude and to put that the material goods in their right place, but also at service of others.
Yeah. I don't know, the thought that I had was, whoever watches this, like, the next time you go to the bathroom, I want you to think about Father Deus. Now, the reason is, you know, one of the, like, tell us, like, one of the biggest reasons why you're here in the States right now.
Yeah, one of the biggest reasons why I'm here in the States, I want to talk to the people, take them about my experience, my challenges there, because it's hard, it's hard life there, especially to do mission, what I do. I do the youth ministry mission. I have, my diocese has 70 parishes, and I have to go and fish the youth there in those parishes. And also each parish has two youth ministers. They have no means of transport. They are not paid. They are very poor. So everything, they look at me as the priest like that, okay? Even me, I'm just a poor man, okay? I don't have the means of transport. Reaching to them also is something which is hard. I have an orphanage school for the orphans and vulnerable poor children like that. So now me in the States are to look for, talk to some people who can, or who are like, who can give in some donations, who can give in some support, so that I may, they can support my ministry there in Uganda.
And I'll connect what I said with what he just said in just
here
a second.
Here we go. Okay. Yeah.
So the diocese does not pay Father Deus. He does not get a salary. He raises crops, he raises animals, and sells them to provide for his living. Same thing with regards to the youth ministers and all the parishes he serves. They all raise crops and raise animals to pay for their living and their ministry. Father Deus was basically orphaned at the age of 17 and had to raise his family. There were 8 siblings still at home at the time. Mm-hmm. And so in that process of taking care of his siblings, he went into the seminary. And he didn't come home from the seminary. He stayed there and worked and sent the money home. And when he had 2 weeks off, he went to the factory and took your siblings to the factory too, to work, to take care of them. When he got into his transitional diaconate, that's when he started like building up a school for orphans. So like from the beginning, like when he was taking care of his orphaned siblings, all the way through now, he's still taking care of orphans.
Wow.
And so his school that he has provided for everything that they have out of his own means, out of his own funding and donations and stuff like that. There are 450 students in the school. 300 of them are orphans, mm-hmm. or have been abandoned by their parents, basically. Yeah. And none of them pay to go to the school. He's got about 20 people on the staff that do the work there. And he has a latrine for the girls. He does not have a latrine for the boys. And so every time you go to the bathroom, please think of Father Deus. Because that's one of the biggest things he's trying to raise money for the school. One, he's trying to raise money for the youth ministry that he's doing in the diocese for sure.
Right.
He's also trying to raise money for the latrine for the boys. And no, I did not say bathroom. I said latrine. right now the boys and girls share the latrine that they have, and it's not the best to have the boys and the girls sharing a latrine.
It's not the best.
It's not the best.
It's not normal.
Yeah. Not normal.
As you go here, when you go to the airport, see how you go, could you find they say men, yeah, they say female or women like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why, anyway, if anybody's interested, you can reach out to me and I can make sure that he gets, you know, whatever's going that way. But prayers is one of the biggest things he needs and is asked for. And that's why, like, every time you go to the toilet, think of Father Davis. You know, think about the kids in Uganda, because we go to the bathroom multiple times a day. And that's multiple prayers per day that you're thinking about him and praying for God to bless them, you know, with a latrine, you know, and that's not a bad thing.
Not at all. No, I love it. God is with us always, even in the bathroom moments. So may as well use that relationship to advocate for those children in Uganda. That's amazing. But another piece. So not just to be grateful for
a toilet,
but like the toilet. Yeah. But also, if your parents are alive,
Yeah.
Like to remember, like these kids, most of them are orphans and they don't have, their parents aren't around. And so there's something powerful about that reality. We were initially starting out and I was thinking, hey, dads, how do we get our kids to have gratitude for all the material things that they have? But the fact that they have you as a dad is something that is perspective. The fact that they have faith, right? That they have faith in a heavenly father is something that's this perspective. Like it doesn't just have to be, I'm thankful that I have clothes on my back, which is very much how I was raised. It's like there was this Catholic guilt to be like, you ungrateful little turd, da 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 da, you know, you should be thankful for this. Finish your vegetables. There's people that don't have vegetables. And meanwhile, they never thought like, hey, the fact that you have parents that are going to give you a hard time, because that's what it was like growing up in the 80s and 90s. Your parents gave you a hard time. There was a lot of guilt and manipulation that has forged Generation X to be the people that they are. But there are basic things that we don't, like familial structure that we don't even think about that we should have gratitude for. And I don't want to tell my 4-year-old or my 7-year-old, hey, just remember, you know, there's some people that don't have dads. And then my child is going to bed with their eyes wide open. Like, what happens if I don't have a dad? So there has to be a scope and sequence in the way that we roll this out with our children, which is where service becomes so much more valuable, because they get to see and experience it instead of be told.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like saying it to someone, it doesn't get anywhere, really. They've got to meet someone who is like them or same age or whatever, who has had a different experience
right.
than they have.
Right.
You know, or they've got to serve somewhere and have a different experience. Like the experiential learning is the number one way that humans learn. You know, we learn from the classroom, but everyone says you learn so much more by doing, you know, and it's true. And the same thing goes with life, you know, experiencing life with another person whose life is very different than mine. I'm going to learn so much more
right.
than just by reading a book or by mom lecturing me.
Awesome. Well, as we start to wrap up, Father Deus, is there anything else in regards to Catholic dads? This is how you can help foster gratitude, or what advice would you give to Catholic dads, especially over here in the United States?
First of all, I think the dads should love their children. Love their children. They must be there. When it's time for, maybe to get time, great time, time for prayer, they should pray together. For example, today in the morning, I got up, my dad told me that, Father, we are leaving at 7:30. So I had to get up very early in the morning. Then I sat in his beautiful cushion there. So then he invited us with the family members, with the children there, and then we prayed, okay? That's there. And Matt brought up a Bible, and then he read some texts there, okay, as a dad. I think that creates a very good impact. Very good impact to the children and to the family. Okay, praying together, going to the church together, going to the school, pick the children, take them like that, and also tell them some experiences. Okay, that yes, here we have a lot of things here, but there are some people there out there who don't have the food to eat, who don't have maybe the toys, maybe the television sets like that. Okay, and also the dads should teach their children how to give. Because you could find that the children have a lot of things at home, okay? Maybe 10 pairs of shoes like that. You can tell your child, maybe we are going to an orphanage, maybe organization. Please let us go together and take these old shoes of yours and give them there. Why? Then a child can ask you, why do I do that? Maybe you are raping another person outside there who has no shoes, who has like that. So those kind of things, I think the children will be grateful to their dads.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And thanks for coming on the show. Chris, are we ready to close in prayer?
Yeah. So just a quick summary. Service is key. Dads, if we want to foster gratitude in our kids, service. Fasting or kind of the life of the church of letting things go. And then what Father Adeus just shared, also being willing to give, help our kids to be able to give if they have abundance or even from what they currently have to give away. And that's a beautiful thing. And then the last one is Father Dave says, love your kids, Dad, love your kids. One of the ways that love is spelled to a child is T-I-M-E. Make sure that we're spending time, making time for our kids, and also making time before the Lord to pray for our kids and bring our kids to the Lord as well. So I think that captures kind of the high level points that we were able to talk about. Father, thank you for coming all the way from Uganda to be with us today. And we will pray that your work here will bless your work there.
Thank you.
All right. Would you close us in prayer and give us your blessing?
Yeah. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. With the Father, we thank you so much for the Abrace Ministries. Thank you so much for the work that they are doing here. Thank you so much for the families. Thank you so much for the dads, for the loving dads over there, for their different families. Lord, we ask you to bless them. They continue to be near to their children, take them to church, teach them how to pray, teach them how to socialize with the other children. Lord, give them this kind of love. You told us, love one another. Let love begin from the family. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the
Amen.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Be blessed.
Amen.
That's our show. Thanks for joining us here at the Catholic Dad Show.